Well, good afternoon. This is Rob. Who's on, please?
Hey, Rob, this is Sean.
Hi, Sean. Welcome.
How are you?
Hi, Claudia's on as well.
Hi. Welcome. So,
we have a little bit of weather issues today, Rob. The office is closed. We're getting a snowstorm here, and not sure if Rob's able to join, but I talked to him earlier this morning. He has the what look like early stages of flu symptoms, so he may not be able to join based upon how he was feeling on our earlier call this morning.
Nasty.
Yeah.
What's the temperature there?
What are we, Claudia, 28, 29, something like that?
Yeah, it's cold. We took the girls outside for a few minutes, and it's cold, and it goes from sleet to snow. It's keeping things interesting, but it's going to be, 50 tomorrow and 70 on Sunday, so it'll be short-lived.
that'll make it crazy.
Right.
Before we get started, what's on your mind? How is the how are things going? And then we'll talk about the business plan.
Sure. Things are going well, Rob. We've gotten off to one of our best starts in several years. Rob has done a really good job in terms of new client acquisition as well. We've brought in just emailed this morning to clients. We ACAT'd them in a $4.5 million relationship that came in this morning. And Rob was recently out in Colorado, about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. And we took a relationship that had been, from our understanding, was solidified with Goldman Sachs, a $10 to $15 million relationship that is also in the ACAT process that should be here by Tuesday of next week. So
that sounds like a good story. What happened?
A client that we had actually had a very small piece of his portfolio. He is a serial entrepreneur. And we had a portfolio of municipal bonds that was being actively managed through a separately managed account. And over a two-year period, we looked at it and said, look, we're going to go in a period of rising interest rate environment. The bonds that he holds here, effectively are probably going to lose its overall value. And the fact that we have a fee on top of this laddered portfolio, we think, is ridiculous. So we turned off the management fee of this portfolio 2 years ago, ended up saving the guy, about $35,000, $40,000 in costs over the last two and a half years. He had a similar type of structure, just at a much larger scale, with Goldman. And we then presented this to him a couple of years ago, and he said, oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. He never did anything with it. And, true to form, that portfolio came under some pressure. And then through Rob just staying on top of him, having a engaged dialogue along with one of our other internal partners, went out to, Colorado 2 to 3 times to meet with him over the last year, made a connection with he, his wife, and the family planning, and ultimately he decided to leave Goldman over the course of the last 2 weeks and transition all of his assets over to us.
Wonderful. That's a great win. That's a classically great win. Congratulations. That's great.
Amazing. And we also have the $6 million from BlackRock in the pipeline, John.
Yeah. Yep.
That referral.
And Claudia, why don't you go ahead and tell, and this is actually a testament, Rob, to your process. I'll let Claudia tell you, but this is as a result of explaining to not only our clients, colleagues, but external partners what our service model has been and what our process is, and it led to Claudia getting a decent-sized referral that we think we're making pretty good headway with.
Yeah, so this one is about $6 million, Rob, and it was referred to us by our wholesaler from BlackRock, who we've maintained a relationship with, over the years, and it gone back and forth, a number of times in terms of product and fitting into our models. And a lot of our discussions revolved around our model, the service model, how we run the portfolio models, just constantly talking about 1242 and why we do the things the way that we do them. So this referral was a result of one of his coworkers' parents have had their accounts at Ameriprise, and you know, through guidance from their son, they kind of started looking for referrals for other advisors, because it was they didn't really have an advisor over there. It was just model portfolio. So, but the wholesaler from Goldman referred us because he liked our customer focused approach. You know, he says he's never seen a service model like ours before. And so he referred them to us, which was a great win. And I think we're probably 90% of the way there. We have our final meeting with them next week, and hopefully we'll get that one in the door as well.
And Rob, as a testament to, you know, not only telling but showing. So the individuals at BlackRock who came into the office were sitting at Rob's desk, and Rob was explaining what it is that we do, you know, on a monthly basis, how everything is agenda driven. There's follow up info sent, communication even between those calls. The guy said, "There's no way you guys are doing all this, and you know, there's no way that you can, you know, keep track of all this." And he said, "If you don't believe me, take a step out of my office and go, you know, look in Sean's office." And that's where all of the daily 12-2-4 folders are. And, okay, you know, we had, you know, 8 to 10 on there that were occurring over the next 48 hours. And he said, "If you don't believe me, just go look. Those are all the calls we have set up for the next 2 and 3 days. And he's like, "Wow." And just kind of went through a couple of those folders and said, "Man, this is something that we, one, didn't know people were, you know, even talking about doing, and being able to execute this on is a very different level." And that, again, as Claudia said, that's the result, and why we're you know, down the road with these new clients, or new prospects at least.
Well, that's a dream come true, because, you know, everything that I teach is coming true for you guys, and it makes me feel wonderful. So thank you. It's
thank you.
It's great. It's great. I couldn't be more excited. That's like a whole, that's like a little new company you guys just started. I mean, that's enough assets to start a business.
That's right.
That's right.
And
yeah.
Well, and the other piece that I will tell you this, you know, Rob, you know, going through what we went through in the fourth quarter, and, you know, having a difficult market environment, particularly around the holidays, you know, where, you know, it was so you know, abnormal to go through something like that in the month of December, just given the historical context. And being in a position to where we were having these calls with everyone, you know, in November, you know, starting in October, November, December, going through this and saying, you know, almost, you know, holding their hand through this process, and then coming through what we went through in January, we're like, "Oh, you guys were right." You know, that was almost like a non-event. And, you know, being able to be so proactive as opposed to reactionary, and having the ability to communicate with our clients during that difficult time frame, and have them to be so at ease and not, you know, disrupt what we're doing personally with our families, and having, you know, that holiday time be disrupted was infinitely valuable. And so, again, appreciate the path that you've taken us on, and you know, we're believers, and now we're even telling other advisors. You know, Claudia, why don't you give Rob a little brief overview on Andreas, on one of the new advisors in our building, who is starting to adopt what it is that our process is.
Yeah, this is a good story. You'll like this one, Rob. He so Andreas, a new advisor, moved down here from, I think, New York. I forget what firm he was at, maybe Merrill, but came down here and, you know, wasn't given the mentorship that he was kind of promised. And so I don't, you know, I don't know how we kind of came across him, but we've been kind of building a relationship with him over the past year or so. And as we were getting ready to go into 2019, we realized we were going to need some kind of bandwidth to be able to transfer some accounts as we continue to bring new accounts in. So we sat him down, gave him Supernova, talked to him about 1242. And because he's just starting his book, he's got a lot of clients. This isn't something he can do with all his clients, but Sean recommended that he start with, you know, his top five clients. And he did. And, you know, he implemented it. The clients loved it. I think he started in December, right before the market volatility. And, you know, just the idea that he was going to commit to these clients one time a month, I think they were thrilled. And one of his clients ended up bringing over his relationship from another brokerage firm, about $3 or $4 million, I think it was. So, I mean, this was, you know, a huge win for Andreas.
To him, Rob, his average account size is something between, you know, 200 and 500,000. For him to get a $3 million relationship, because he said, I didn't hear from my advisor once during the October to December swoon, and you've called me now 3 times. He's like, I'm moving all my money to you.
See, now this is classic, isn't it? This is why you guys are keeping me, you know, I'm 72 and I want to quit. And now you guys are making me want to stay and keep doing this.
Yes, it works. You know,
I don't know if you can apologize or continue to thank you.
No, it's great. No, I do. You know, I do it for my charities and I do it for fun and I do it for you guys. And with the belief that someday I'll get a phone call like this, and I do get them, but this is one of the best I've ever had. So thank you. Seriously.
Great. Yeah, appreciate it, as always.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Well, good. So, that's about as good news as we could have. We can just end the call right there.
That's right. Don't talk past the close.
Right. Don't talk through the close. No, we got the order. No, that's great. No, congratulations. That's just wonderful. So you're teaching him. So you're doing what we call stair step to the stars. So you're taking and developing a younger person or a newer person to take your accounts, but you're teaching them Supernova so that when you assign an account to them, as you outgrow them, they don't have any lapse in the service experience.
Mm-hmm.
So that's brilliant. The clients really need that, and then you don't have that sense of, you know, what are we doing? We're, you know, these people were getting great service, and now we're dropping them into somebody that's never going to call them.
Right.
And so you get rid of that guilt, and it allows you to keep raising your minimums and mm-hmm. without increasing the number of clients that you're working with.
Yep.
So that's terrific. Way to go.
Oh, and also, Rob, just jog my memory. We got rid of a $10 million client who, one, did not fit our process, never came in, never dialed into the calls. Every time that they did call, they had an issue and they needed us to drop everything for them. So we got rid of a $10 million account this since we've last chatted as well. So, and been happier for it.
Yeah, congratulations. That's as important as the others. It says we are not slaves to our business. We're free to choose who we want to do business with, and we will do that. I bet it was a shock to that person.
Yeah, and in fact, Claudia should have told him about Greg as well.
And it is, Rob, really, you know, it makes us feel good being able to do this with confidence now and not have to think twice about whether what we're doing is right, because we know it is.
So give him a brief overview on Greg. Want to just kind of give him a snapshot on what Rob did there in the last week or so.
Yeah, so Greg is a client of ours that never adopted 1242. And it's not for lack of us trying. And so, as you can guess, he was unhappy throughout the volatility. Sent an email that was not very friendly. I mean, it was a complaint, but a lot of language in there, just a very angry email. And, you know, Rob very quickly and politely responded to him and basically said, you know, If you're this unhappy, you know, we're not in the business of making people unhappy. We think it's best that, you know, we find another advisor for you that's better fit for what it is that you're looking for. And as you can imagine, I mean, we're what, 3 or 4 days removed from that, and the client is basically begging us to let him stay. So we have a follow-up meeting set up, and you know, we'll see if he adopts our model or not. But we've got people that we're trying to get out of the book that are asking to stay in.
That's great, and that happens more often than not. They're a bully, and once you back them down and tell them, "I'm sorry, but this isn't the right fit for us or for you," they immediately go become a compliant person to their benefit. Give them a chance, okay? But have a very strict, they're on probation, okay? So he is, and I would literally tell him, "You're on probation. We'll do this, and we'll do this going forward, but if there is a problem, this has been the warning. There isn't going to be another one." That's the way I would handle it.
That's Rob and I chatted about that this morning, Rob, and that is our plan. We're meeting with them Friday at 11.
Yeah, and you just tell them how we're going to work together. This is what you're going to do. This is our obligation to you, and this is your obligation to us. If you can't fulfill it and you don't, and you feel it's too onerous for you, then, you know, we'll find you someone that probably would be a better fit. God, it's liberating.
Perfect.
It's so liberating that you just you feel free. So great.
Yeah.
Congratulations. So we our new book is out, The Supernova Multiplier. I don't know if you've had a chance to get on to our website or to Amazon and get it, but you'll find it reinforcing in every way what we're doing. And there's a couple of things that let me have you answer that question. Have you got it yet? Have you found it? Do you know about it?
No, I'll answer. I'm a no, no, and a no.
Okay, good. Well, look, it's marketing, right? It's my fault for not getting you guys the proper email. But anyway, what I want you to do is think about it as a marketing tool for you guys. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I'd like you to do for me would be to send me the BlackRock BlackRock wholesalers contact information and his address, and I will send him a book. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Because he should be he can be a center of influence for me, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, but anyway, my point is that with all your centers of influence, you should give him the book. And with anybody that's in marketing, anybody that's trying to leverage their brand or they're in the service business, use it as a marketing tool. Because people don't believe you guys are actually doing this.
No, they don't.
No. And so here's the other thing. When you meet with a center of influence and you bring them in and you introduce them to yourselves, using the 5-star model, give them a copy of the book. You can give them both of them, but you know, the Supernova Advisor is simply it's really focused on how you get organized and how you stay organized. The Supernova Multiplier is how do you take that brand that you've created and leverage it and turn it into a multiplier for your practice, which you all are doing. Here's the greatest thing. You now know it works, all right? So remember the 5 steps of becoming enthusiastic is curiosity, interest, knowledge, belief, enthusiasm. So you all started out curious, you generated an interest, You hired me and gained knowledge. You became believers, and then you saw it work, and now you're enthusiastic. And once you're enthusiastic about something, you can sell the heck out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So now's the time to go to those centers of influence and go to anybody that you think needs to hear this and tell your story. And just tell them what you just told me. You don't think client, you know, somebody says, what do you do? Let me tell you a story. Okay? That's what you do.
Yep.
Somebody says, what do you do? You say, well, let me tell you a story. This is why I love my job. And you tell them what happened.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Isn't that great? I mean, those are
it is.
Those are two or three great stories right there. And they'll say, you know what? Wow, I wish I had that leverage. Richard Sears.
Yeah.
Okay, let's turn to the business plan. How are you doing with that? Is it working? Are you using it? Are you leveraging it?
We are. We, you know, we've got our monthly meetings. We've got actually that's this Friday, isn't it, Claudia? We've got I think on our calendar for we're sticking to the business plan. We're continuing to do a lot of the other pieces, Rob, that we were candidly neglecting in 1242.
Yep.
The daily meetings. I think Claudia, maybe we've missed one or two based upon travel schedules. But even when we're traveling, Rob, I mean, we're calling in. So we're sticking to the pieces that candidly either fell through the cracks or through our own negligence we had just stopped doing. We're back on track and following what it is that we set out at that yearly planning meeting that we had in December.
It's wonderful. So tell me what your process is. You're having the daily meeting. What else?
So we have, Michael will do, if he's got an operational piece, we do chat, briefly for 5 minutes.
Yep.
And we shifted our daily meeting because we usually eat lunch together all the time anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So we typically just meet in a conference room for, 12 to 12:30. And
yep.
We have lunch brought in and we do our daily meeting and talk about, anything that's come up over the course of the last day or during the week. Claudia then has our follow-up at the end of every week, the recap on the meetings that we had. Claudia, you want to maybe just touch on the spreadsheet you've got that goes through what our compliance level is for the week and the month and how we're reporting all that out? Maybe we lost her.
Sorry, Sean, I had you muted. I was talking to myself there. But so, yeah, Rob, we've got a spreadsheet that's tracking. We're tracking it on a weekly basis, a monthly basis, quarterly, and so on. But just in terms of how many meetings we have scheduled, and by, meetings being quarterly meetings, monthly calls, and in-person annual reviews, how many of them are scheduled, how many of them are actually completed and completed to 100% compliance and that the client got the follow-up email and anything else that was promised in there. And so we finished the month of January was really the first, obviously the first full month that we had to kind of look at. And Sean, we finished at like 75% compliance.
Yep.
And, that included some client reschedules, which we think is going to happen. But I think for our Rob, it's helpful to have those metrics because sometimes when you're just always going and doing calls, it's hard to see what actually is being accomplished and what's not being accomplished. So I think that was helpful for him to see what actually, got done versus what we had planned to accomplish in January.
It's really good. And Yeah, because it becomes more of the science of the business then. It becomes more industrial engineering rather than just art of, you know, the art of the deal and the art of being great on the phone. It becomes the science or the engineering of how do we improve from 74% compliant to 78% compliant, and what's that worth to us?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or
80%. And that being said, you know, we were 75% compliant, but we closed two new clients and, you know, had another good one in the pipeline. So I think we were all pretty happy with the way January turned out, and it helped refocus everybody for February.
And one of the things that you want to think about is that 100% for us? Because one of the things to think about is, you know, 4% unemployment was considered 100%. was considered 100% employment, right? I mean, and that was their number. Now it's not, you know, we figured out we can go lower than that, or what, 3.7% or some crazy thing. But I think one of the things that I'd be very interested in is, practically speaking, with life showing up, what is your 100%? Is it 75%? Is it 80? You know, is it 70? What can you sustain over a year-long period and still get the kind of, quote, compliance that you need in order to feel like the clients are being serviced in a Ritz-Carlton fashion? So I think, Claudia, that is one of the things that I would kind of challenge you to come up with in terms of monitoring the system.
Okay.
Rather than always feeling as though you're behind, you know, always feeling like we're not doing enough. I think there is the reason I say that is I had a gentleman that took my course and was amazingly compliant. Okay, he was a Navy pilot, and you know, he was a Marine Corps pilot, and he was awesome. You know, he did it. You know, he and I talked plan, process, and rituals, because I was a Navy pilot, so we got it right, and so he loved the process. After about 6 months of doing this, he said, 80% is our number.
Hmm.
I cannot get to 100%. It's just, there's too many variables. You know, the client, I'm gone. The clients are gone. They don't show up. There's this, there's that, and so on. He said, I can work on it, but the cost of getting to 90% compliant may not be worth it in terms of incremental increase in client satisfaction. So
I think that's a good point. I think we'll end up somewhere like that.
Yeah, I just think that,
yeah.
You know, client, I mean, like Marcia and I were, you know, up and visiting our granddaughter in Nashville, and I'm supposed to have a call, and I'm all set. I had a call with her, you know, a week ago. We took care of most things. I don't need another call right now. And so we postponed it for another month. So is that in compliance or out of compliance? I don't know. So, but I'm, you know, I'm perfectly happy with the level of service, and I feel like we got the job done. I think as long as you, here's what I would say, even when you don't have a call, I would still send the email.
Yep.
Okay, and that to me would get you to the 100%. Meaning,
yep.
you know, you have the agenda, they don't show up, you do what is necessary without their instructions, anything you can do, okay, on a non-discretionary basis or what, even discretionary, whatever you have for power. You know, if there's a couple things you needed to take care of and you took care of them, or you emailed them and said, or in the email you say, I need to hear from you because we got to do this. And then they email back and they, and you do it. I mean, to me, if you send that follow-up email, that's done, okay?
Make sense?
Yeah, agreed.
Make sense?
Yeah, yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. So then you can get to a higher percentage without, you know, playing a game. You're not really playing a game there. You really are doing the job, and it's, you know, it's somebody else's issue that, you know, they couldn't be, not you guys. Because even if Rob is out and this is not your primary client to deal with, you guys can make the call and can take care of a portion of what needs to be done. And therefore, that is in compliance, and you should get credit for that call. You can't do the full on review, but you certainly can take care of whatever issues that you know, whatever. Maybe you can do the full on review, whatever you guys work out. But to me, that's where, you know, you can get to that 100%. I love the idea that you're trying to get to that too. There aren't too many people. You're probably the second ones that I've ever worked with that were taking that kind of attention to detail. Let me make another comment. Everything in life that you ever do, there's always an A to be achieved. There's always excellence beyond what everybody else is willing to do. Now, most people will do the job in order to get a C+. The difference, though, between the B and the A is not that much. You think it's like the difference between a D and a B. It's not. When you get a B minus or a B, or the difference between that B and an A is doing what you guys are doing. It's just that little difference. It's keeping track of what we're doing and then monitoring it and trying to get to 100% so that everybody is really on board and you're closing the loop. To me, that's the difference between a B minus or a B and an A. And an A is a quantum leap above everybody else. Even though I say it doesn't take that much more to do it, it's a quantum leap above everybody else. Because you're going to make sure you get every step done. And by doing that, you have 100% compliance. You have 100% of your clients understanding what you do. And so when you call in the guy from BlackRock, you can say, all of our clients are getting this instead of some of them. And that's when the BlackRock guy goes, I don't believe that. That's impossible. And you go, look, here it is. And he goes, wow, no one is doing that. And therefore, you are much more referable for a substantive reason than anybody else. And therefore, I'm going to give you the $6.5 million. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. You know, Rob, that was just echoed on an email that I got. Claudia, did you see the email regarding Mark and the bank?
No.
So we got an email. Wells sends out surveys, Rob, to clients in the private bank. And, you know, it's basically asking, you know, what they feel of the service, what they feel of the overall experience. And a client who we had literally at 12:42 this morning, Rob and I did with. And in the survey, he says, please note that my responses relate only to the private bank. I'm extremely satisfied with the investment management team of Rob, Sean, and Claudia. They are wonderful. My wife and I have full confidence in them. And then he goes into a litany of reasons as to why he's been disappointed in the service that he's had from the bank itself, and effectively all surrounding a lack of communication and a lack of contact. And as you talk about that, you know, D to C to A to B, this is just exemplified in this paragraph that this client wrote. And it all comes down to having that communication and being in a direct, you know, line of fire to the client at all times.
Well, it applies to every business, everything that people do. They all want to, you know, they all dream about having a business where it is run this way. But the effort that it takes to actually execute on it and do it consistently, it's pretty significant. It takes work. I mean, it takes real hard work, and most people aren't willing to do it. And they don't want to be that accountable. They don't want to be that accountable, and they don't want to promise something that they can't deliver, so they never promise it. And therefore, they never reach that A. They never get to that excellence. Everybody talks about commitment to excellence, but they don't really define it, and they are not willing to work to achieve it. So when you get it, now the question is, how do you tell that story? Now, you can tell it personally when somebody asks you what you do, but you also want to make sure that every client can tell that story. So when the client sends that review to you, you know he can tell your story. But you want to make sure that you're not giving anonymously. You want to make sure that think of this as every single of your clients, every single one, can be your best salesman. They can be, but they have to know what it is you do. So, frankly, you need to ask that question. You know, the first question on the VIPSA, the value question. If you don't do anything else but ask that question, you will satisfy the need to make sure that the clients understand what you do. And the question is, Sean, we've been working together now for 3 years. In the last 12 months, what is it that you valued the most? Or what are the three things that you valued the most over the last 12 months? Mm. And I like the three things because that will get you the answers that you're really looking for.
Yeah, that's great.
And then the question is, you know, Sean, if there were a couple things that you think we could do better, what are they?
Mm-hmm.
Just so I can share it with my team. See, that legitimizes the first question. Without...
Absolutely.
You know, Bill Gates talks about asking the first question. But I've had a couple of people that have done that, but then they add the second question. And I thought about it and why it feels better. It's because it legitimizes the first question. You're really doing a survey rather than just looking for an accolade. And it, you know, you've got to kind of suck it up a little, right? When you ask that second question, you get a little nervous, right? Because you're like,
sure.
I know we could do some things better. I hope he didn't notice. But that's when you're doing your job. That's when you're really being serious about it.
Well, I mean, you know, Rob, it's a great point. We were all three of us in a meeting in Raleigh with a client a couple of weeks ago. And the client we made a recommendation to the client back in October, November. The trade didn't work out, and the client called us out on it. And, you know, I think what he's – and we pushed back on that recommendation and why we still, you know, had confidence in that recommendation, why we still believed in it. And he then made the comment as to how he – that's the type of engagement that he wants. He doesn't want just people to acquiesce to him and tell him what he wants to hear. He wants to have that intellectual debate and, you know, to go through that. So not just to look for the accolades, but to have the intellectual conversation about improving and constantly staying on your toes. That, I think, is how we continue to take this to the next level.
That's really good. Well, you're having a serious conversation with him. I mean, it's the courage. That's a big, that's a very courageous question to ask. And having the courage, you know, I went to breakfast this morning, and the gal came by as they usually do and say, you know, I hope the food is great this morning for you. And we said, well, actually it was kind of, the breakfast was lukewarm. And I said, I'm only telling you that because I care about you and I care about this restaurant. And for me to not tell you would be a disservice to you. And she accepted it really well. And the manager came over and, but I mean, you know, you got two choices when you have something happen to you that you don't like. You can accept it and not say anything, nod your head, everything's great. Or you can tell them. Or I guess the third choice is you would never go back again. So I think
right.
They'd rather have me tell them than for me just to never go back again and say, you know, I really don't like this place.
Great point.
Okay. So that's, you know, if you're not willing to hear the answer, don't ask the question. But I wish we would. And that's your survey right there. You know what? Here's the real story. They had the courage to answer the question, I love what you guys are doing. I hate what the bank is doing. Now, what's the response going to be to him? Nothing? Or is the bank actually going to reach out and fix things? That, Sean,
and I'm
me
sure we'll
is,
get blamed for it.
Well, so right, the reason I was a minute late jumping onto the conference line is because I had a call with that banker for 7 minutes before we hopped on, and we talked about an action plan, how to resolve this.
Oh, good for you. Because you're a team. Whether you like it or not, you're a team, right?
Yep.
I mean, if he's not doing his job, I mean, you're, you know, the client is like, I love half of what you're doing. That means he's half happy, even though you're doing 100% of what you should be doing. As long as there's another player in the game, you're a team.
And to your point, Rob, that issue, because he brought this up on our call this morning, if we had not been holding monthly calls, he would have had the same experience. And he probably wouldn't have had the same comfort level to express his frustration to us if we hadn't had that level of communication. So
right.
You're right. This whole process has opened it up to where, you know, client conflict and client resolution can be attainable, and we can work through these issues in a much more cohesive strategy than opposed to somebody like the one client we're going to deal with Friday who just, you know, blurts out angrily because he's not communicating with us.
Right. So there's, you know, they could just be quiet, no survey, no happiness, too much trouble to move, I'll stay. Or they get somebody whispering in their ear from Goldman Sachs that says, you know, you should be over here. We give great service. And he's
yep.
gone. And you get the ACATS. And you say, well, I didn't like him anyway.
Right, right.
I got all the. I used to call the guys when they'd get an ACATS. and say, what's the deal? You know, this guy's leaving. Why is he leaving? Oh, he was a jerk, or blah, 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 blah. Really? Are they all jerks? Why are we doing business with him if he's a jerk? It's never a great guy, and I screwed up, you know, when I'd call the FAs. It was never, I screwed up. The guy is a great guy. It was always something wrong with the client. And the answer was they weren't doing 12-4-2. They weren't, you know, they weren't communicating.
Rob always says, were they a D client or were we a D advisor?
Whoa, good question. Or were they an A client and we were a D advisor?
right, exactly.
Right. That's the worst. And that's what Supernova is. I mean, that's what this whole thing is all about. So in terms of active acquisition marketing initiatives, how are you tracking that, Claudia?
So we've got a process in place to track it. Right now, I would tell you it's probably more tracking activity. The focus in January was really becoming compliant with our existing book and the 12-4-2, but we've sat down with Rob in terms of, you know, his business plan and what he wants to accomplish. And some of those things include, you know, reaching out to a certain number of prospects, COIs, you know, just spending time researching, just activity that I think that Rob needs to create, and that will lead to kind of more of a marketing pipeline. But for now, it's just trying to prioritize, because it's a lot on everybody's plate right now. And just, you know, saying, yes, marketing is important, and here are the tasks that Rob needs to accomplish. And so we're building that out. I would say it's not as robust as the service model side of it, but I would say by, you know, end of Q2, I think we would have made a lot of progress on that.
Now, in terms of tracking, suspect, prospect, client, et cetera, how are you doing that?
Right now, a spreadsheet.
Okay, so it's good.
And
yeah, it seems to be
Rob,
easier.
If I could add on to this, I mean, something, again, not to just sound like this is, you know, getting on our soapbox here and telling you how great things are. Rob has also done this month two major COI events where he had an attorney that we work with came in and spoke to a group within Wells, so a bunch of colleagues of ours. Talked about branding and marketing and how one, you know, a lot of these folks need to, you know, continue to start moving forward and differentiate what it is that we do as individuals versus, you know, Wells Fargo, the name, and talk about, you know, going out there and branding and marketing ourselves. Additionally, Rob had a meeting with a gentleman by the name of Tom Richardson, who is, if not the, within the top five estate planning attorneys in the country. I mean, most of the estates that he settles are in the $1 billion range. But Rob knew him way back when he was getting started out settling, you know, $4 and $5 million estates. And, you know, Tom's team is now, you know, consisting of 6 to 8 attorneys who are Tom Richardson 20 years ago. And so what Rob is now engaged in is we're now going to have meetings with those folks who are going to be the up-and-coming stars within his overall practice. He explained 12-4-2, he explained Supernova to him. So there's a follow-up meeting that's going to continue as a result of that conversation he had with an outside COI telling the story. So that's all in addition to this.
It's fabulous. Fabulous. What would you think about bringing them in and having them doing the 5-star model in front of those 8 attorneys or whatever? Or a couple of them?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I want you to practice it. I want to hear some. I think it's a really good idea because it says what the BlackRock guy says. You guys aren't really doing this, right? It says, yes, we are. and this is how we do it. And we're much more organized than anybody you've ever met, and therefore we're way different. So I'd love to see you get there. Because you guys are good. I mean, you're really good. I think you can pull it off. But it's really, just a few minutes of each person telling, basically what your business plan is right there. What do we do? What are my roles and responsibilities as the, director of planning? What do I do here? And why is that a good thing for your clients? Why is it a good thing for our clients? Director of implementation, director of brand management, director of marketing, director of leadership. How do we keep this together? How do we do this? How do we function? Because I think they'd find it amazingly instructive for their own service business. And my question would be, at the end, do you think you all could do this at your law firm?
Yeah, I like it, and I think it helps to reinforce for ourselves that 5-star model, and I think continue to give people ownership over the roles and just reminder of what it is everybody's doing, and kind of go back to that business plan every time you tell that story.
Right, and so if you told the story just let's say once a month, right, to a new center of influence. And every month you got better and better and better at it. And then you tell it to a group of your peers. And then you tell it, then you go on the road somewhere and tell it to a group of your peers. I mean, to me, that would now set you so far apart from the competition that you just really own it then. So it would reinforce your business plan. It would reinforce what you do every day and would make you really believe in it because of the, look at why you believe in Supernova right now. You believe in it because your clients have said it. This is fabulous. The BlackRock guy said it's fabulous. This is amazing, right? It's not because you think it's amazing or Rob thinks it's amazing. Because the clients think it's amazing. So you need that same feedback from strangers, basically, clients, prospects, centers of influence. You need to get that feedback after you do the presentation where they say, this is amazing. You guys really do this? And you go, yes.
Great. Well, thanks, Rob. I have a call at 1 that I have to...
But without doing that, I think you have a tendency to do a lot of it, but not all of it. So to me, this is the way to get to do it all. Not that you have time to do every single thing, but you can do most. Okay, guys, really, congratulations. It's been a phenomenal week. I wish my book wasn't finished because this would make a great story for it.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it.
The next book.
That's right.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye.